You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and it's the last hour of a long week, and it's an hour where we just talk about stuff that's just quite nice, not quite as serious as some of the other items that we discuss throughout the course of the rest of the week. And we do so in the company of Fionnuala Rabbitt. Good morning, Fionnuala.
Good morning.
And Michael Eddy. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
And we're continuing to ask you your favourite summer memories, what you remember about the summer when you were a younger person, or even not so young. It could have been this year or last year. What does summer mean to you, Michael Eddy?
My good, as a child, saving the hay.
Kind of boring a bit now.
Saving the hay. Mm. Farm, grew up on a farm, Leitrim. Worked a horse, we had a workhorse.
So
the late 70s, it was lovely, fantastic. So yeah, strong memories of being out in the meadow, mum and dad, the horse, saving the hay. And in memory, you look back and it never, ever seemed to be raining, but of course it was. But you
look
back.
Yeah, that's what we were saying before nine, that it always seemed to be sunny and it didn't seem like hard work, and it didn't, you don't remember going, Dad, no, I want to go and do this. I don't want to go.
I do remember missing an episode of Space 1999 one Friday because we had to go out and save the hay. So some of those things I do remember as well.
Fionnuala, what about you?
To be honest, one thing I always think about the summers is the freedom of it.
Yeah.
You used to just take off in the morning and you'd kind of come back when it was starting to get a bit dark.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And also what down home in Oranmore, we used to have, which is people mightn't realise when it comes to me, but we used to have a festival and there was a big marquee that went up. And it was down the road from where our house is. And I remember we'd be lying in bed at night with all the windows open because, again, the weather was always nice. Mm. And listening to like the likes of Brendan Shine and Philomena Begley and that kind of thing as they were down in the big marquee. And then we used to go and bring our bikes into it because I had a really good dance floor. Do you know the way it was like all just that kind of like for dancing? So we would go in during the day and we'd have our bikes and our roller skates. And then the guy that owned it used to come and hunt us off.
Speaking of dance floors, back in the day during the show bands and what have you, the dance floors used to be sprung. I know it's separate to the temporary one you've been put in now. You're probably talking of. I wonder, are there any sprung dance floors left in Ireland? I think they used to sit on tyres. I think they used to put the tyres underneath them. So there was a give in it.
The Great Southern Hotel in Galway, which is now called, I think, the Merrick. My sister got married there. And they had an amazing band from the Midlands, who sadly I can't think of the name of them, but they were awesome. The guy thought he was in U2, not a wedding band. And he had the whole crowd was on the dance floor, and it is a sprung dance floor because obviously it's that old type of hotel and they never took out the dance floor and changed it. So all around the dance floor was all the tables. And like towards the end of the night, obviously they were full of like old drinks and the whole, all you had was all the clinking of the glasses going while everybody was just like jumping up and down on the dance floor.
I know.
It is amazing.
The premises below the Great Northern in Bundoran, it was most latterly Planet Earth. I can't remember what its name was before that, but it had a sprung dance floor.
It probably was connected to the same group.
I think there might have been one in Bunkrana as well, or maybe they were more popular than I know. Ooh. But I just wonder, are there many left? Is there a sprung dance floor left in Donegal? And why were they sprung?
Oh, because for the ballroom dancing and that kind of thing, wasn't it? That's my understanding. It gives you more that kind of like
oomph.
Yeah, okay. I think that's what it was. It was supposed to make it better and night, you know, for even if we watch people jive on a sprung dance floor.
There going, I have nothing.
Nothing to add to that.
It's not about Star Trek.
It's not about Star Trek.
All right, let's go to the cinema because this is a film that I'm not necessarily, that I am actually looking forward to see, and I wonder, am I right in doing so? It's Twisters, Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones. Both of you have seen this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. Is this a remake of Twister?
No. It's basically, in a very subtle way, we were chatting about this last night, it's a sequel because it has elements of the original, the device.
It's connected to it, though.
Well, if you pay attention,
it's not a shocker. He hasn't seen the
original. I haven't seen the original, no. But I mean, it was explained to me afterwards that It's that device that's, it's just, it, there's a thread connecting the two.
I don't understand how, you must have actively tried to avoid watching the original.
Yeah, I just wasn't a cinema person, I'm just a TV person.
They put it on the telly as well.
I know, but I'm not.
That's what I tried to do. Don't go down
but I wouldn't choose, like this was the mid-90s, I would choose to watch The X-Files on a Sunday night, or I would choose to watch Star Trek.
No, I think you'd actively have to avoid, switch it over. You'd have there's Twister. I'm switching over.
Before we finish this conversation, I will mention another movie that he hasn't seen.
Yeah, fair enough. But think about, to answer your question, when originally this was in development, it was Helen Hunt was coming back and Helen Hunt was going to write it, direct it, and that plan fell through. So it was rejigged somewhat. It was going to be about her daughter. So now it's just about a random woman who is called Kate, who is also an expert on these. Well, they don't call them Twisters. They call them tornadoes. They don't say the word Twister. I was waiting. You know, when are they going to say the name of the movie?
It's called Twisters.
When are they going to say the name of the movie? But they don't do that. Okay. So we went to see it last night, and I think we'd both give it a thumbs up.
Well, I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It looks like and I'm only just watching the trailer.
Yep.
It looks like the original. In other words, the same sort of stuff. But B, it's benefited from a huge advancement in special effects.
Absolutely, yeah. Visually, it's very impressive. I think
Improvement on the original?
I would say...
I would say it is, yeah.
I would say that when the action is happening, the movie is very, very enjoyable. When it stops for the characters to interact, sometimes the characters are a bit slight and a bit annoying. Glenn Powell, though, he's got charisma to burn.
He seems to be the hottest property in Hollywood.
He's hot property,
it's unbelievable. He's in everything.
Yeah. But he deserves it.
Not Fall Guy.
Hitman.
He's
The Fall Guy.
No, he was in that one about the guy who was pretending to be a hitman. That one, you saw it.
He's in Hitman. He's in...
Hitman.
He's in Hitman. He's in Anybody But
Daisy Edgar-Jones
is... He was in that one with... that Anyone Knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, which I liked as well. That was good. Sydney Sweeney was in that with him. This is a good rom-com. Yeah, it was fun.
He's in that.
You saw that last week. Daisy Edgar-Jones is pretty okay at this. I haven't quite made my mind up on her yet, but she's not a bad... She's there and she's... Sometimes when she's getting all teary-eyed and stuff, it feels a bit like I'm not with her emotionally. I don't necessarily...
Yeah, a bit doe-eyed.
Yeah, a bit
like
doe-eyed,
You know, she's in it for that sort of like big, innocent look.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe people want this. A little bit more depth than that nowadays.
Maybe,
I have seen the original one. Cause
of course
Everybody has, apparently, on the planet. I found out last night.
Is this based in 2024, this one?
Yes. Yep.
So they still, to test the speed, that you still have to suck balls up into the tornado. I would have thought at this stage...
There's a different plan, there's a plan.
I would have thought at this stage they'd have come up with something slightly more technologically advanced.
That's the connection to... It kind of starts off with that sort of an idea.
So this is the machine from the... Right.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, that's the... You're kind of like waiting for the connections, but they're not as... And then, obviously, when Mike looked it up, we could see something went wrong. There was probably supposed to have been a lot more connections.
It was a different idea originally.
Something went wrong with it. But... two things I'd say is the difference in this. I'd say when they made the original one, they probably, I would imagine a lot of the footage was actual real Twisters because, you know, health and safety being what it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, in comparison to now when, you know, like Glenn Powell was even talking in an interview, they weren't allowed to go even chasing a tornado as part of their research because it was just for the insurance and that kind of thing. So, whereas now it's much better with the CGI, there's a lot more to take. It's a slightly different genre type of thing, this. If you remember when the original Twisters came out, I was saying to Michael, it kind of fell into that kind of like disaster sort of movies that were coming out at that time, like Volcano, Dante's Peak, you know.
Yes.
There was a load of different types.
Which I loved, actually.
Didn't see it.
I watched Dante's Peak. That's Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
I watched that not that long ago. It's
nothing
very watchable.
Made me want holds to get, up, a, yeah? get a truck yeah, no, more not, than that.
It watches. It's, there was Cliffhanger as well. That's in the same sort of.
There was loads of them.
Cliffhanger. I did not like that movie.
I know, typical out of all of them, you picked the worst one. the only one you've seen. But there was
Janine Turner was
that
in
time,
that from
was
Northern Exposure.
There was a load of them that kind of came out that one disaster after. It was either an earthquake or it was there was another one then, do you remember where the lava was in the drains?
Mm.
Was that Tia Leone that was in that one? The lava was coming up through the in Los Angeles, coming up kind of through the mud tar pits and that kind of thing. But there was loads of them around that time that came out, and all of them were of a certain level of standard, different ones. But the previous one fell into that. This one has a bit more of a comedic edge to it, you know, like as in it's a bit more kind of character driven, that kind of thing.
It's quite light in a lot of places.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like lightness
kind
to it.
Of lightness to it that you that you'd kind of say it's not quite.
Tim Powell's character is very, very humorous for a lot of it. You
I
know?
Wonder, do they? It would be nice if they sort of tried to make it in the 90s mold, though, then. You know, like all this wisecracking stuff.
Yeah, it's
really
more in that sort of a feeling, which seems to be where they're making.
I think that's his thing. I think that's Glenn Powell's thing, isn't it?
I suppose, when you think about the few things he's been in. But
he's very similar in his
that
movies.
Cheeky kind of, semi-geeky, handsome-y
It is, in his big roles, that is definitely what he seems to be playing. But not to take away from the fact that it is very enjoyable.
It is,
David
Corn-Sweat is in it as well. I know he's done a few things, but I was interested to see him. He's the new Superman, and he's one of the supporting guys in it, and I thought he was really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed him. He was the guy in the van with her best friend, that guy, and... He's going to go, he's a new Superman. I was watching him through the filter of like, Clark Kent.
Yeah, I've kind of given up on Joker, like Batman, Superman, any of that stuff.
I think this is going to be a good movie.
Joker now, Colin Farrell.
No.
Oh, the trailers make me think, and I'm not a massive Colin Farrell fan.
Are you not? Anything I've seen him in is quite good.
Colin Farrell now is, Colin Farrell's very good.
In fairness, like if I look at his films he's been in, they're great. Do you know what I mean?
He picks his movies very well.
He does. He was in a small role in a film with Anthony Hopkins, Solace, I think it was called. I just happened to watch it there during the week. It was silly, really. It was about, it was a serial killer, so I thought, right, I'm watching that. But Anthony Hopkins is a sort of a...
Profiler? No.
Can see stuff. What psychic. Do you call it? Psychic.
Ah.
You know what I mean? And it turns out that the other character is also a psychic. So he's using his psychic abilities... But the person that's committing the murders is a psychic also.
That sounds
right?
pretty okay.
It is actually quite good. Yeah. And they're on the poster together, but you don't see Colin Farrell until like about 20 or 30 minutes. But even in that small role, he's very, very, he's very good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I like him a lot.
But he is a bit Marmite, maybe. I think you kind of like him
It's
more.
Not that I dislike. It's
I know
just
that,
like, you know the way you're just kind of like, I don't know.
It's not going to be the best thing about a movie for you, I don't think.
Yeah, but I am curious to see about the Joker now because he's in the trailers, he's unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the Joker seems to be speaking with a mild Irish accent, which would be
fine.
An interesting turn.
No harm in that.
Interesting turn. But the other movie then I just wanted to say, I've finished talking about Twister, which again, recommended.
Thumbs up,
This is the 30th anniversary of Forrest Gump.
Mm.
Shockingly, guess who hasn't seen it?
Never seen Forrest Gump.
Never seen
tried
Forrest
to start
Gump.
A conversation with them, which I think is a really interesting conversation.
We did have a conversation. We had a good conversation.
If they remade Forrest Gump
today,
what would be the historical moments? You've seen Forrest Gump, haven't you?
Yeah, but now you say it's 30 years. It could be 27 years since I've seen it.
But you know the premise. You know how they like superimpose him in. He meets JFK, he goes to different things, you know, and they kind of put him into newsreels,
what would be
that
the
he was
modern newsreels?
What would be the...
Can it be serious or not serious?
I
think one of them would have been when at 9-11, when Bush was whispered into his ear at that.
Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
That would have been an iconic moment. What else? Well, Trump getting shot, I suppose.
Well, but now that is
now. It is. Yeah.
It's quite recent.
No, it was something I was thinking about. Like, if you think, you know, there was the 60s and, you know, that movie is kind of based 60s, 70s and into the
early
80s.
I think there's so much stuff now that I think iconic moments were what news editors sort of selected for you back then and fed to you. It's just...
That's an interesting
nowadays,
point.
Nowadays, there's just so much of it.
Well, there's 24-hour news cycle, so everything is coming at you the whole time.
But that doesn't take away from the question that there still should be massive moments in time
of the last 30 years
that you could superimpose him on. Good one. I don't know.
It is a good question.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's 30 years time to rewatch, perhaps. Is it a good film? It ages well, doesn't it?
It's still, there's just something really nice about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just nice.
Okay.
That's just what's about it.
Twisters, to me, I mean, obviously people can make the decision to do whatever they want, but judging by the trailer here, this requires a screen that fills most of the wall that you're looking at. Is a big screen.
Oh, I think
so
it definitely does. Yeah. And don't be nervous about it. It does. Like, we went in and we were like, it says it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it turned out it was less than 2 hours.
So yeah, yeah. The timing
just
on
under 2 hours.
Yeah, and it was just the right length. It really was. Like, it's one of those things where, as it was wrapping up, you were like, oh, that's
because
that
we
flew
were kind
by.
Of looking at our watches, going, all right, this feels like half it's hour wrapping up here, and half what hour are we going to do with the last half hour? Yeah. But yeah, it's
what's,
actually a little bit shorter.
Colin Farrell's role in the new Joker? I probably will watch that one actually because I liked Joaquin Phoenix or whatever his name
Joaquin,
is.
Joaquin, yeah.
So Joker. Obviously he doesn't play the Joker.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Right, but
he played the Penguin though in I'm confused as well. I'm
with the Penguin, I mean then, is it?
I'm confused.
He's in one that's coming out now.
Is it Folie à Deux, Joker 2?
Yeah, that's Joaquin Phoenix though. That's Joaquin Phoenix. She, and Lady Gaga's in that
yeah,
one.
That's yeah, that's right. Okay, we're on
the
same
maybe
film.
Maybe I made the Penguin. I don't know. Oh, yeah, I do mean The Penguin.
Yeah, The Penguin is the TV show, HBO.
So he's not in Joker 2?
It's Penguin, I think he's in,
no,
yeah.
It's The Penguin,
yeah,
sorry,
he played the Penguin in the Batman movie, and he was under prosthetics and he was unrecognisable.
And what's the name of the film?
It's a TV series, isn't it? It's a TV series. It's like on HBO Max.
Oh, I thought it was a TV. I thought I just assumed it was a movie.
I think, yeah, it's a TV series, yeah. With him as that character he played in The Batman, the new... I mean, I'm at that stage.
Okay. I can see. We're looking at the trailer here. I can see the. He is unrecognizable,
isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. They could have got someone much cheaper to do it then. do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, what? Why pay if you're gonna completely hide the person? Right. Okay.
You're really
I'm
thinking
sure
like
we'll,
a movie executive.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Sure
you
we'll,
should be taking over yeah, Warner Brothers.
We review that. Down the
I wish
line,
Craig
sure
was at that meeting.
Yeah. I wonder
all,
when is it.
Can we not just get someone cheaper?
All right. Okay. We'll be back with more from Michael and Fionnuala. Keep your texts and comments coming to us. 086 60 25,000. WhatsApp and text or call on 074 91 25,000. Right. Okay. Party in the Park is upcoming. The Donegal Youth Service Party in the Park has been running for 20 years now. Can you imagine? It's a brilliant celebration of the musical creativity of young people that encapsulates the spirit of community, youth empowerment and cultural diversity in the heart of Donegal. And we've got quite a team of guests in here now, some performers, some talkers. Laura Byrne, Elevate 55, Illuminate. Youth worker with Donegal Youth Service. This is all written for young people, not me here. How are you getting on?
Thank you so much for having us this morning, Greg.
It's good to have you in. This is an annual event. 20 years, hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it's been running a long time now and every year seems to get bigger and better.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so what's happening this year?
We have loads of acts booked in, all young people. We're looking at around 20 acts, live music running from 12 until 6. We have art workshops, we've got sport workshops, we've got face painting, and a new addition this year, we have a pop-up thrift shop because our focus is on sustainability. And our summer camps this year, we've been looking at fast fashion and kind of things we can do to combat that. So that's a new addition we've got in for Party in the Park this year.
And also, we have in studio with us Morgan Mooney, who very sadly lost his incredibly talented son, Paul Mooney, a Remelton musician who was in this studio on a number of occasions. He very sadly lost his life in a car crash just before Christmas. Morgan, I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm sure you're still working through it on an hourly basis.
Oh, yes, yes. Look, it's every parent's nightmare when the guard calls to the door, but... We're working through it. You know, we test ourselves off and get going, keep ourselves lit.
Yeah. Well done to you. And this is one of those situations where it's a whole bag of emotions for you, isn't it? In that
it is.
You're dealing with your grief, but your son is being remembered in a wonderful way and with his connections to the people behind this and his involvement, Morgan.
Yes, and thank you for that. I'm here on behalf of his mammy, Gwen, and excuse me, his sisters, Maeve and Julianne, and of course his partner, Nicole. And particularly because in his formative years, he was very shy and introverted, and he discovered the loft, and the change was remarkable. And one of the big things was the Party in the Park that he played at. You know, the loft is non-academic focus, and it was listening skills, and it was a forum for him to play. So, like, he had a couple of bands locally, but the Party in the Park was important for him. And it's just, instead of having flowers at his funeral, we come up with the idea that we would we would seek donations mm-hmm. for the Elevate project, and we're very proud and delighted to be able to support this with yeah. those donations. And I want to thank everybody for that, yeah. which is why I'm here today.
Yeah. And I hope you you do, and you know, aware that lots of us felt Paul's passing. I know it's a very personal thing for you, but he was a young man that had a great impact on an awful lot of people, and we all kind of felt it. And there is a hole there for lots and lots of us. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that I know you know, but you're not on your own in your grief and your family.
Thank
that
you
we're
very
all
much.
We're okay. all in the we all felt that as well, and we all felt the awful yes. tragedy of it, Morgan.
We were overwhelmed with the support at the wake, the funeral, particularly young people. I mean, yeah. he was only 30.
Yeah.
But his peers were all broke because they're only starting out in their music careers. So we were astounded to get so much that we did get.
But that was a testimony to the people he touched.
Totally.
And not we don't all have that. And yes. at some point, maybe that will continue to bring you even more or more comfort. And isn't it lovely, Laura, to be able to, because you have to think of timing and what the family want and that it's the right thing at the right time, and clearly it is. Go on ahead, Morgan.
We'll be forever grateful to the Loft for the infectious personality that he came out with, you know, even though he had his own way in life after that, and he studied music in Manchester. But we were very grateful and proud of the Loft, because that was his formative years. And
I'm not putting words in your mouth, but did it allow him to find himself?
He found a forum for his artistic talents, and once he had that, then you know it was also, you know, he had a voice, and that people would listen to him, and he would listen to them, and it was just such an advantage and an asset to have to the town, you know. But if I could just mention Orla O'Reilly.
Take your time, Morgan. There's no. I know you want to get that. Do you want me to come back to you, or do you want to stick with it?
I'm good.
Okay, thank Morgan. That's
Orla was his mentor, and she also died in a road traffic accident, and she kept him, kept with him for till he kind of found his own feet. Yeah. And I also want to get John Muldowney, a holler, and Frankie McGreevy, who are two very helpful people throughout his years.
Tough, Morgan, but you've done Paul proud, all right? And is it Gwen that you're here for? Well, you've done Gwen proud as well, okay. And
Maeve and Julianne and Nicole is his partner.
Nicole's his partner as well. Fair play. It's not easy. You did fantastic. Well done,
thanks,
too. Laura, I mean, can you get any better sort of... It's sometimes when we talk about the youth services and what they do and how they help people and the importance of it, it can be hard to get that across. I've done many, many interviews in relation to this, but Morgan has done as good a job as I think all of us who tried to talk about the impact and the importance this has on young people's lives than all of the hours we've tried in the past, Morgan. So fair play to you for that. And that makes it even the more special, isn't it, that this stage is named after Paul and could be the platform for the next generation of people to find their voice, to find their space and to move forward with their careers.
Exactly. Our project just aims to kind of foster that safe space to allow young people opportunities. You know, we're not there doing it for them. We give them the opportunity, we give them the space, we give them the time. But this is youth-led. Like the festival this year, we've had a youth collective that have booked in all of our artists. They've done all of the artist liaison. On the day, they're going to be managing the stage themselves. They're going to be running the shops. They're going to be running everything. Like, it really is youth-driven. Yes, we provide some of the resources and we provide the support, but this is for young people and to young people to take it and run with it. And as Morgan's testimony there was just saying that, you know, it's a catalyst and you don't know. By coming into the Loft, it can be really nervous. You know, coming in and meeting people that you don't know for the first time, but you don't know where that might take you. You know, so many young people that we work with now, and they're anxious and they feel like they don't fit in maybe with a crowd at school, and then they come into us and they meet other young people, and it's affirming. It's affirming for them to meet other young people, and they're like, oh, like what I have got to say is important, and I am funny and I am cool. And those friendships form. And even like, you know, St. Patrick's Day, we had a big family event, and what was incredible was there was lots of kind of like Paul's generation coming back in, With their families and
but also
just
too,
building
we have
those
this,
friendships for life.
So much of our society is interlinked with booze and to some extent as well drugs nowadays. You know, it's also nice that the St. Patrick's Day celebrations are an alternative to that. That this is a place that parents can take their children and know it's not
exactly
associated with alcohol or drugs or anything like that there. Okay. But it still gets a you get the buzz of a mini festival, of
absolutely
a live feel to it. When is it on?
It is on Friday, the 26th of July.
So it's next Friday.
12 until 6.
Excellent. I thought it was this Friday. Okay, that's great. Next Friday, 12 till 6, Letterkenny Town Park. Admission is free. And just to say, it's an alcohol and drug-free event. And I can't remember who I was speaking to, but I just thought, you know, this is a great opportunity for... There's an awful lot of people going to concerts now, right? Or festivals and all that kind of stuff. And there's young people... 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 that can't go to those or necessarily they get a feel of that. Maybe it sparks their interest in the
absolutely
in the live music scene. I'm going to take a really short break because we have the Backroom Bandits with us as well, Corin and Ollie. They're from Derry, just 13 years of age. They're going to be performing not only for us now but also next Friday. And then we'll have another brief chat too with Laura and Morgan. Just to let you know, of course, what we're talking about is the Party in the Park. It's next Friday. And it is on between 12 noon and 6 in Letterkenny's Town Park. Back in a wee moment. Okie doke, right, the Backroom Bandits with us as well, Corin and Ollie. Corin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Ollie, how are you getting on?
All good, how are you?
Good, good, good. Down from Derry, you've performed together as the Backroom Bandits. What's the background, Ollie?
We met at school and we performed in a back room. Well, no, we met in a back room. Down in our music class, so that's what we're called, the Backroom Band.
Brilliant stuff. You're performing next Friday.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to it?
Very.
Is it your first big gig?
We done one on Over the West launch party.
Oh, fantastic,
so
right.
That was good, but I think this is going to be the first one where we're like
super
up on a stage.
Big open up stage, and a stage some of the top acts in Ireland or even from outside Ireland have performed on, and a big crowd, fantastic stuff. Mm. And what's your style of music, Corin? How would you describe your stuff?
It's mostly in Irish and rap.
Mm-hmm. So you're blending the Irish, the rap stroke hip hop. I know you're a bit older, but what do you think? And it's not in your genre, but that school kids down in Cork that blew up, that was something else, wasn't it?
It was the first time I seen that. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we're unbelievable. All over the place, global.
Because we used the same like backing track for a song. But
oh, you did not, did you?
We never released it.
He bought the backing track.
I bought
track,
it.
Oh, this is like the guy that was going to sign the Beatles and then thought, now they're not any good enough.
he bought the backing track, but then...
How much was it?
Forgot to delete it.
I don't know. It was like a
five or something. That's terrible.
Still up for sure.
Come here. Huh?
It was still up for sure.
Yeah, so. Have you got the recording that you did?
I deleted it.
Oh, no, all right,
no,
okay.
It was no use.
Yeah, all right, fair play. I like your attitude, actually. You know what? Let's move on.
Couldn't be in England.
I'm just going to play a little bit of this to get the volumes right because we couldn't do it off air.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
That's all good.
Okay, right. That's just, I like that. Did you make this beat yourselves?
No,
I
make the
beat.
Did
you really?
Aye.
Well done. Did he give you a fiver for it? All right, shall we listen? Now, this is 127. That's about the right length, isn't it? Mm. You're right. Okay. Right, this is Corin and Ollie. They are the Backroom Bandits, both from Derry, both just 13. And this is their track, not only the words, but also the backing track composed by Corin. But this is Corin and Ollie performing Mr. Magoo.
September, why is there snow?
Why is there snow?
And all that snow, it's giving me the flu. I have a friend named Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
I a dog from going him off.
Go
I get the dog, I can't stress that enough.
Off.
I keep the dog, keep it from the front. Keep the dog. Mr. Magoo, Mr. Magoo, Mr. Mr. Magoo, he hasn't got a clue. Yeah, Mr. Magoo, Mr. Magoo, Mr. Magoo, he hasn't got a clue. Yeah, he loves in Bunkrana, up in a tree.
All right.
Said this at the start, I still have 2 feet.
Okay.
Might need to go back to Derry, might need to flee. But when I get up there, there might be a fee, yeah.
Well done, lads. That's good. I like it. I like it. Very good. Well done. Not easy, by the way, doing the backing track with the headphones on, sitting down in a radio station. But that's a sense of what you can enjoy. How big's your set next week, Ollie? How many tracks are you doing next week?
At least 3. It's 20 minutes long, so.
All right.
We're doing at least 3.
Well done. And are you excited about it? Are you excited, Corin? Yeah?
Aye.
All right, good stuff. Well done. Everyone's going to be really proud. The family will be down as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, thanks very much. Enjoyed that. Laura, last word to you,
I suppose.
You can whip that back over to you. Fair play to you.
Thank you.
All right, that's brilliant. What a platform, isn't it?
What a platform.
And I'll bring you in on that, Morgan, as well. Isn't it lovely that these young lads can, and I think it's really impressive, by the way, that they put the music together themselves, but can get up on the stage and perform and entertain.
Yes.
And
yes, you hit the nail on the head just before the break. Like, I mean, when you see that we're paying hundreds, probably thousands, going to the likes of, you know, big concerts, probably can't name them, but we have it all locally and it's free. Yeah. So maybe they're the next generation. Just remember where they came from, you know, when they're
exactly
famous, you know.
Yeah.
But if I could just take this brief opportunity to thank everybody who donated to this project, and we're very grateful eternally.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And we're very grateful, Morgan. It's actually been an honour having you in, and to have from... his own dad, Paul, remembered too. So we're very proud of that. So thank you so very much indeed. Laura Byrne, it's free to... go ahead.
Could I just ask people to slow down on the roads?
Yeah, I get you. And unfortunately, it's every day we're having to deal with more bad news. Yeah. Okay, Morgan, thank you. Very well done. As I say, you did Gwen and the rest of the crew very proud. And Paul, particularly looking down on you. Laura Byrne, well done to what yous all do.
Thank you.
And next Friday, the place to be, 12 noon.
Rain or shine, Greg. Well, do you know, if
see we've gone so
we
well,
need to come prepared.
The
no, we need to come prepared. If you're going to a festival, if you're going to Glastonbury, you turn up with your wellies,
exactly.
You turn up with your raincoat.
Exactly.
Do the same on Friday, please.
All
be
right,
prepared,
well
rain or shine.
Okay, well, hopefully the weather's good. It's free alcohol and drug event. And do you know what? It's the end of the week. You maybe have the young ones at home and you're wondering, what are we going to do today? How much is it going to cost? Well, you've got 6 hours entertainment there and it'll cost
exactly.
You nada. Okay, well done, the Backstreet Bandits, Corin and Ollie. Well done. You did brilliant there, by the way. Morgan Mooney, very grateful to you. And
thank
Laura
you,
Byrne, Elevate 55, Illuminate, youth worker with the Donegal Youth Council. That means you started off in the Youth Council, doesn't it?
No, part of the Youth Service.
What does Illuminate?
Illuminate's just name of one of the projects, and Elevate 55 is our project as well.
As you see, there's some guests coming on our programme and they're Illuminates.
That's not us.
I don't know what that is.
It's not
us. Do you know what it is?
Not
what?
With us, no. No, Illuminate was just the name of one of the projects where we were working out into schools.
What is it when you
used
to win a college? Fanula's going to put me straight anyway. Maybe it's not Illuminati, maybe that's a religion. Is it? I don't know. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm getting out
yeah.
of this hole before I dig any deeper. I'll try and explain it all after the break and everything will be fine. Right, Laura, Morgan, boys, thank you so very much indeed. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. A texter says, the Mooney family are a wonderful family. Paul was a quiet young man dedicated to music, just like his dad. What a special way to remember him. Hear, hear. And as I says, I don't want to patronise Morgan, but he did. It's a tough, very tough interview, and he did absolutely fantastic there. And everyone, including Paul, will be very proud. Okay, and Michael and Fanula are back with us again. How are you getting on,
good,
guys?
Good,
very
good.
What did you do since I was chatting to you?
Got tea.
Got tea?
Yay.
That's a nice tea.
We'll do
too.
One more in the cinema, because there's a lot of people looking for stuff to do. Date nights, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Fly Me to the Moon.
Yes.
Odd not to sing that one. Scarlett
Johansson. Go for it.
Fly me to the moon.
Let it's in your me. Area, isn't it? You always
no.
like him.
Not really. It's all right. Yeah, okay. Scarlett Johansson, yummy. Channing Tatum.
I'm kind of getting into him now, I have to say.
I think he's good fun.
He's been,
good fun. Yeah.
He's in, if anybody hasn't seen it, The Lost City with Sandra
yeah,
Bullock.
Loved that. That was actually panned by reviewers, and it was a good fun film.
Oh my God, I thought it was great. And actually, I sat down and watched it with my nephew, who's 12, niece 11, and the youngest one is 6.
Does he not get leeches somewhere on him?
Hmm?
Is that the one where he gets leeches? Okay.
Yes.
How did that go down?
Oh, they just thought it was so fun.
It was funny.
And I was like, that was the thing. I was like, and then...
thought he was funny, and I think it was in Baywatch with The Rock as well.
Yes.
That again was kind of slammed by the critics, but I thought it was fine.
Really?
Yeah, I actually...
I think he's okay, but there is a review. I thought of you, Fionnuala, because we had this discussion last night. So I found the Times review of Fly Me to the Moon, and this is the quote, direct quote from the...
That's the best.
It's... Johansson fires ace after ace. Tatum stands there like a tree, watching them sail past him.
Do you know part of me starting to feel that reviewers are just actually cruel?
Some are. Some
is there any real place
some
for
are.
Them? I prefer audience stuff.
The audience, yeah, the audience
like,
loves this movie.
I guarantee you that's probably some... Old fella, the film's not even designed for.
And the thing about Channing Tatum is, a lot of the times, that's what his role requires is that he is kind of the straight
man. Yes.
You know, the way, like, what I actually liked about this was I wasn't 100% sure. Let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
So Fly Me to the Moon is basically, it's about where the kind of space race kind of an idea, mm-hmm. and it's sort of a... like a romantic kind of a twist on it.
Yeah, it's a rom-com-y type thing set in the 60s,
and it's all about, you know, the space race, and Channing Tatum plays the guy who is the head
engineer yeah.
that is running the space station. Now, first of all, I was like, I'm never going to believe Channing Tatum, because in fairness to him, as a human being, he probably is very smart, but in his characters that he plays, he tends to play... the not very smart one.
In the Sandra Bullock film, he played it from start to finish, taking the complete hand out of himself that he didn't have two brain cells.
Yes.
100%. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, when you read it, and I was kind of like, oh, would I believe Channing Tatum as being somebody that could be running the NASA space station? And I actually did. You 100%
Yeah, you did. He was very good.
You know, like, he does have a presence. He does have that kind of like in charge feeling about it. I was like, I thought that was amazing. I was like, oh my God, he's totally flipped me on that. So, you know, that he didn't play just the fool, you know what I mean?
He did not play
the fool. That sort of a character.
And he came into this production late in the day. He wasn't originally on board with this film. And when you take even that into account, I thought he did a great job.
Is this a cinema release or an Apple TV release?
It's a mixture. It's in the cinema and it's still in the cinema, but it is an Apple thing, which means it'll very quickly appear on their platform. You know, that's the way it works.
It's actually amazing. It shows how much interest there is in it, I think, that it is still in the cinema.
Yeah. It's getting traction.
Because I would say he puts bombs on seats.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of not
so
really
she.
Interested in what critics are.
Scarlett Johansson,
I think they'll.
Critics.
He might motivate
critics
people
are giving
more.
This 66, but the audience review on Rotten Tomatoes is 91%.
There you go,
I'm not surprised. It's a fun movie.
It really is. And basically, what it is it's that he's running the NASA space station. Not space. He's running the NASA.
He's the engineer guy. He's the
engineer where they're
they
kind
build
of coming
everything.
Up with why isn't this? Why can't we get this thing into space?
Yeah.
And then
and it's all
the
about cutting down the weight and getting the thing up and it's all
exactly.
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And it's at the time when there was, and this is like untrue, that there was a lot of talk in America at certain periods, particularly after the Russians had kind of gotten into space, whether or not it was worth kind of still putting money at it and just kind of letting it go. And then there was a group that was, you know, it kind of became the space, like I was going to say, it kind of became the space race. Obviously,
really?
It was the space
really?
Race.
Really? It was like the space race.
It was like the
wow.
space race.
Wow. Wow.
And then, so what they had then was a publicity issue.
Yeah.
So it was like a perception of the people that this was costing so much money and what were we getting out of it? Mm. And so Scarlett Johansson is a like PR, very much kind of a Mad Men type of an idea.
Morally bankrupt ad executive character.
Very in the kind of Mad Men sort of
thank God we don't have any of them here.
Anything.
No, I said thank God.
Oh, I know you did.
For a buck.
I was laughing at a joke I heard earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and so she's brought into it then in order to...
By Woody Harrelson.
Did he also do a backup shoot in case things don't go right? Is that part of it?
Yes, that's big part of it. Big part of it, yeah.
Is whether or not, if they can't get there, they can't allow the American people to see that they'd failed.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different
And it's worth mentioning that Woody Harrelson is the guy who reached out to her and he's a really shady government guy and he's brilliant.
But the more...
Really shady guy, he's
like,
the guy.
When you see what they supposedly have done, I'm not a denier of it, right? And you see the literal, like, of the images, it's like, you know, gaffer tape holding this thing together. And then you see the Chinese... now can't even land a truck on its wheels on the moon. And you think what they did back then, it's almost unbelievable. And I'm not saying it didn't happen, but my word, to pull that off.
It was an amazing engineering feat.
Something they actually really haven't been able to do since.
Yeah.
Properly.
I don't disagree with you. Like, there was a lot of things, and some things do come up in this movie, and you're kind of like, oh.
But a part of that is there's an excellent Apple series called For All Mankind that I love, and I did a bit of a deep dive into the research of researching that show, and a lot of the things that happened at NASA was the funding. The space shuttle took all their funding. That put an end
to
the moonshots.
I'm about actually being able to do it.
Oh, yeah, but you need funding to do it. Yeah. I agree with you. I know what you mean.
The Indian nation, the Chinese nation, the sea, I've just tried to land the bloody rover on it. Not men, not ladders, not flags. And haven't been able to do it
yet.
Yet they did it with computer more power basic, less than your more mobile
basic,
phone.
Yeah, more basic telecom.
And seemed to be some gaffer tape involved. I don't know. And took off again and come back.
Yeah.
It's amazing. As I say, I'm not doubting it for a second. Hold your horses, because do a quick wrap-up on that one after I speak to Declan Boyle, organiser of The Tour of Inniskeel. Sounds like a Colin Farrell movie. It's a Honda run this Sunday. Declan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How's things, Greg?
Good, good, good. Right, 50s, 70s, 90s, and all bikes welcome for this event. Tell us what's happening, where it starts, and how people can get involved.
We're starting from the comprehensive school here in Glenties or whatever. There's a 75-kilometre route run or whatever. Pretty much we're kicking off there at 1 o'clock or whatever and going round Bignahearn and bits and pieces like that. There's plenty of scenic bits on the route and all, you know. So, look, it'll be good enough, hopefully. So hopefully the weather gets on our side.
Yep. So, as I say, all Honda 50s, 70s, 90s, all bikes welcome. All bikes welcome, as I just said. But... no quads and no helmet, no run. You want it all to be above board and safe. So go along, have fun, bring your bike, but you need your helmet and you need to be obviously legal on the road.
Yes, and there's a €20 registration fee and it's in aid of the Glenties Harvest Fair Festival. So we're hoping for a good turnout now, in fairness, so we'll see how we get on.
Refreshments after in Roddy's Bar with live music. So it's a great day to get the yoke out onto the road and meet up with like-minded folk and compare and have fun.
Yeah, it should be a bit of crack. This is our second year running it, and it was a good success last year.
Great.
So we're hoping to better it again this year, so we'll see.
Love it.
We'll see what Sunday brings.
I'd love a Honda 50. All right, Declan, thanks very much for that. That's Declan Boyle, organiser of the Tour of Inniskeel Honda Run. It's this Saturday. It kicks off at Glenties Comprehensive School car park. Registration from noon. The run starts at 1. Bring your 50, your 70, your 90 or whatever bike you might have. You have to have a helmet with you and no quads, and there's a bit of fun and refreshments afterwards in Roddy's Bar, followed by live music. And it's to raise money for the Glenties Harvest Fair Festival. You were at it last year maybe, so go ahead again and enjoy it. Hi Greg and Co. That usually give it welly on what's on the telly. I hope Fionnuala gets tickets to this, as Galway and Donegal put it, a thrilling performance just in time for Galway Film Festival. Maybe make a movie out of it, Escape to Galway. So from the Donegal Hills to Beverly Hills, only difference is the sun. Axel F. should stand for funny, back to his usual self. Although coming to America too should have been stopped at customs. By the way, on a recent discussion with Donal, the railway man, was on BBC Four last night with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie, with stunning scenery as it was in both Glencolum Kill and Gortle Hawk, as mentioned in the credits. Funny enough, there were shows on railway walks after it too. Enjoy Twisters, but let's hope the weather for the weekend stays the same. Kevin in Dunlow, thank you. Always well thought out. So, finally, Fly Me to the Moon. What do you give it out of 10?
Oh, I give it a good 8.5. I loved
the
it.
Audience.
Loved
okay.
it.
Loved
yeah,
it.
No, I'd be up around the same as well. I thought it was very enjoyable. You kind of walk in it for what it is and in the genre that it is. Don't be going thinking that it's going to be Anthony Outrageous, but you know, it's got the few laughs, it kind of has a little rom-commy bit going on, that type of thing.
They have great chemistry as well.
They really do have great chemistry.
You like them and you want them to get together and you're like, I wonder, will they get together? How is it going to go? It's just fun and it flies by as well.
McDonald and Dodds on ITV, what's that about?
This is the fourth season and it's back this Sunday. I love this show. It's a Sunday night murder mystery show. This is they've had a 2-year break. There was none last year. So you get 3 episodes over the next 3 weeks. Sunday night, 2 hours. She's the young hotshot detective up from London. She's partnered with this old codger guy. And of course, it turns out that he's actually a really good detective. Nobody respected him until she showed up. I love this show. It's light. It's fun. The crimes are really complex. And as I've said on air before, if you pull a thread at all as the closing credits, it all falls apart. So don't think about it too much. They have great guest stars, great fun. They always pull these elaborate twists. You never know who the murderer is. It's one of my favourite shows.
Yeah. You really like it too, Fionnuala?
Yeah, no, it's really good. And I'm watching that. I can't wait for it to start on Sunday. And also season 25, which is unbelievable, of Midsummer Murders.
Wow.
Is up and running.
I think it'll last.
It's amazing. It's still good.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good.
Dawn loves that.
They must be raking over old coals at this stage.
No, it's amazing. They really managed to keep it... to keep it fresh. Now there's a lot of complaints about
it's all in one village.
A lot of diversity and that kind of stuff, but they were kind of.
It's amazing that there's someone alive still in that little village, because it's all one place, isn't it?
No. It's a region. It's a region. It's a lot of little villages.
And what's cynic?
What's the tourism like? How did they get people to move to that area?
Yes.
They're like,
well, if you feel like bumping someone off,
you move there.
They don't like the DFL.
What they need is Jessica Fletcher to do a book tour and show up in that region.
There's one more episode of Presumed Innocent on Apple TV. That's coming out next Wednesday. Watch it. It's good.
Yeah.
Good
show. Is it worth it?
Oh, 100%.
And I see that it's been
entertaining. Yeah.
It's confirmed to get another season. They're going to move on to another case. Right. They're going to keep going with this. Yeah, it's a hit. It's a hit for them. I think it's a massive hit for them, if I remember right.
Well, it's got a top movie cast. But it's in a series, you know, it's a story, and it moves along, and it leaves you. It's got an old hook at the end of each episode, which is nice. You don't see that as much as you used to.
Yeah,
a revelation at the end of an episode that you go, "Oh, I have to see what's happening next."
Yeah, that's a nod to proper episodic TV. This thing of being, you know, a chapter. A lot of these long form shows are just a chapter in a movie, and you're right; they don't have that huge hook. So that's good to hear.
All right, brilliant stuff. Okay, listen, it's been wonderful, fantastic as always. Thanks for sharing your time with our wonderful guests as well, and to help promote events that we have around our beautiful region. Michael Leddy, writer and blogger, we'll chat to you next Friday.
All
being well. Fionnuala Rabbit, also thank you very much indeed. Really appreciate it. Okay.
Enjoy the weekend.
That's where we have to leave it on the show today. John Bresson's out and about. We'll tell you more about that after 12. He's around the Northwest with the usual mix of music and conversation and funny bits and what have you. We're back with you all being well on Monday. From me, Greg Hughes, Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show, and of course Sharon Wilkins, welcome hard on the show as well. From all of us, have a fantastic weekend and be safe.